What's up, everyone? I'm Ben Amoa, and you're listening to the Oracle Podcast, where your stories matter. Welcome back to another episode of The Oracle. I am your host, Ben Amoa, and thank you so much for tuning in. It is now September and the summer is done, and the grind starts again for those who had the summer off, and for those who didn't, keep grinding for this new year that is now here. All right, so this is episode 23, and so I hope you guys will really enjoy this episode interview with Emily Goble, and she is going to just share her story, her perspective, and her journey, especially with understanding God and the struggle of identifying yourself with Him. So, stay tuned. Thanks so much for pressing play on this episode. And I look forward to how you guys will be blessed by this episode. Thank you.
Hey guys, my name is Emily Goble. I am technically from Spokane, Washington, but now I reside in Walla Walla, Washington. I am a master's student of social work in Walla Walla University, and in 2 weeks, I'm graduating.
At Walla Walla, you were quite active on the campus, and you were part of this thing called Circle Church.
Yes.
And so what is Circle Church? How did it start, and what were you doing part of it while you were at Walla Walla as a student?
Yeah, so I was a pastor at Circle Church I was co-pastoring along with this guy named Tommy Tamalea. Shout out to Tommy. And he and I led a student-led church that actually a good friend, Josh Jameson, started 7 years ago. And so pretty much the purpose of this church is at the university, not to bash the university at all, but it's not really geared towards young adults. And that's the majority of the college's young adult age. And so Josh and his team started this contemporary service that geared more towards raw and real, just a way where you can connect without a stage. This service that you just come before God as you are, you know, you wear it what you want. It's not really a high church, which is what we have at the university. So, 7 years later, here I am, and I got to lead it. And you do everything from being a program director to helping out with the worship service. And yeah, it was amazing. We got up to, I think, 400 students at one time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And like, I got to check it out a little bit, when I went up to Walla Walla for college days. I just got to see like a background of it, because like I had to come late and I had to watch my kids, so I couldn't get there. But wow, you guys pack it up.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to have to go into two services. I think that we're going to talk about doing that eventually. Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, it's been good.
That's huge. I think that's awesome, because I think sometimes young adults, or especially when we're students at a campus, so we're tempted to just like accept what we're given. And I think, especially at Adventist campuses, we have to step up and try and look for what we need.
Right.
We have to create what we need to. So I'm happy that something like that exists, and that you guys have continued it and grown it since.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how God works. That's when you know it's not you, right? Like, yeah, God works.
Okay. All right. So let's get into it. Emily, you have a very intense story.
I do.
I think you have a crazy adventure. You mentioned a little bit about it to me when I was in Walla Walla. With my kids, and we were able to visit and go for lunch with some friends. And so what's your upbringing? Like, how did you become Christian Adventist? Like, where'd that start?
Yeah, so I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist household, with both of my parents being, I don't want to say ultra conservative, but very conservative. And if you're listening and if you're Adventist, then you know kind of what I'm talking about. I grew up with, we have Sabbath rules, which is the seventh day, right? So Saturday we call Sabbath, and that is where you can't do a lot of things, is how I saw it growing up. In reality, what it's meant for is God set apart a day so we can rest and abide with Him. That's pretty much it. plain and simple. The way I saw it was I couldn't go swimming. I couldn't watch TV. I couldn't hang out with my non-religious friends. I had to go to church with a church that didn't have barely any youth. Mm-hmm. So it was really boring for me. I had no community. And then my parents had their friends. So, and then my parents always took a nap. And so I was bored. It was a day of boredom is what it was. and sadness. Mm-hmm. So that's how I saw that. I also grew up, you know, with pretty much in Adventist community at all times. I went to school all the way up through the university in Adventist schooling. I guess I was surrounded by the do nots, you know, the thou shall nots. We couldn't wear certain things at school, especially as a woman. You couldn't, you know, have jewelry. You couldn't, your skirt, you know, had to be a certain length. So all of these things growing up, it kind of fostered a culture of I can't do a lot of things. And then with that, I didn't have a lot of freedom. And so I would see these non-religious friends of mine, neighbors, you know, things like that, which weren't very many. And they had a lot of freedom. And so I started questioning a lot if this was the right way to live. And if there was a better way. And so, you know, in high school, you're kind of taught, like, to question at school. But then, like, when I got home, I was, you know, I would get shut down by questions with my parents. Mm. And so I'd be like, hey, like, this doesn't make sense, you know. In the Bible, like, we take some things and leave others, right? And so why is it that, you know, we don't look at as golden braided hair or something like that says in the Bible. We don't look at that as a bad thing, but then we can't wear jewelry, stuff like that. So I started to find some inconsistencies. And then I got to university and my parents couldn't answer my questions. So I would ask my professors questions like, hey, why is it that so many religious people are so awful to other people? You know, aren't we taught in the Bible that we're supposed to love one another, do what Jesus does, essentially? And that's not just with miracles, but like he loved everybody, the marginalized. He loved everybody, you know, not one person was left out. And so I started on my journey of questioning through, is Adventism even right? You know, every denomination says that they're the denomination to go to heaven. They're the chosen, right? They're the remnant. And we're not any different. We also think that as a majority. And so I would ask my Mormon friends and my atheist friends and my other friends, you know, for different perspectives and say, like, how do you see God? Or why are you not in the church? You know, if you're an atheist, why are you not in the church? And it would be because of hypocrisy, for the most part. Or one of my atheist friends told me, I stopped going to church when I realized that these people love God and then they stop there. They love God and they don't love other people. They just give all their love to Jesus, all their glory to God, right? And then they treat the person next to them like trash. That to me isn't Christian-like, right? And so I started doubting, questioning, like, if people are living better lives without religion and without a God, does God even exist? Mm. And if he does, and it's the God that I grew up with, rigid, all these rules, I'm going to go to hell if I wear jewelry, I'm going to go to hell if, or like my dad says, your guardian angel will leave you if you go into the bar. Yeah. Your guardian angel will stay at the door. Freaky question or freaky comments like that. If that's honestly true and I don't make it into heaven after helping so many people as a social worker, after giving my love as much as I can to other people, if I don't make it into heaven because I wear jewelry and, you know, break some human laws of the Sabbath, then I don't think I'd want to enter into heaven.
Wow. Yeah, so then for you, like, you could say that, like, people were kind of your obstacle in seeing who God really was.
Yeah, I would say that. Because, you know, as much as we don't want to look to people for God's character, that's our reference. That's what we have. We have each other. And so if the only thing is we have each other and God too, right? But he's not like our immediate support that we can see. And he does show us a lot of things through other people, I believe. Because of that, I say we need to rise up as Christians and be better people. If we truly believe the Bible, if we want it to be spirit led and we want to be led by the Bible, then we need to start acting like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So then what happened next then for you once you realized that like this God that I'm being taught about doesn't seem like a good God? What happened when you said you started doubting?
So here's the thing. I talked to a lot of people, right? I read a lot of books and I can't remember all of them off the top of my head right now, but I did my research and pretty much came to the conclusion, and this might sound crazy, but I came to the conclusion that everyone through their experience has a different view of God. And so I've started to say, actually my God, okay, your God might be rigid and strict and hateful and revengeful. My God doesn't need revenge. My God doesn't need that. So my God isn't going to burn people in hell forever. It's going to be one swipe because these people didn't want to be in heaven. Not because God didn't want them there. It's because they didn't want to be there. Because God, that would be their hell, right? Heaven would be their hell if they don't want to be in it. And I'd say my God isn't that way. My God is loving. And if you want to get to know my God, I can show you. But he it's not your God. And that's what actually got some people out of this whole atheism thing too, is they had such a skewed view, negative view of God, that when another person shared to them, whoa, that's not actually how it is. God is loving and kind and merciful, and he's not, you know, the father that you had, the abuser, the, you know, neglector. He's not that person. He is a loving, selfless person. And I think that when I changed my view of God through reading through scripture, but focused on the positive, then my life became better.
Mm. Do you think people would be much more less atheists in a way if they were to meet, like, I understand, like, people do all have their own perspective, but I guess, yeah, like, the best version of God. If they were to meet, yes, the most authentic version of God, would they stop disbelieving?
100%. I believe that. 100%. Because even, you know, I think that, like, growing up, I always thought atheists were, like, evil people that hated everyone. And then I'm realizing that's not that way at all. People are just trying to find consistencies, which humans aren't consistent. That's our fault, you know. We're sinful. But at the same time, like, if they could just see, like you're saying, if they could just see the best version of God, I mean, like, unless you're purposely evil, like, who wouldn't want to be around that? I could just imagine, you know, how contagious or how, like, loving it was to be around Jesus, you know, when he was here on earth. Mm-hmm. Like, people, he was probably attracting so many people because of how kind and loving he was. And sure, people try to take advantage of people like that, but I think the majority of people would really change their view. The majority, I say, and I'm, you know, this is not a stat, it's not just the statistic, it's just what I think. From my experience, people were hurt by other people. That's why they left the church. And that's why they can't even fathom God. Someone died in their family. Someone hurt them in the church. There's some kind of trauma. And there's such thing as religious trauma, too. People have anxiety solely from all the commandments that their parents put in place and that, you know, they think that God put in place. Religious trauma is a real thing. And so I think that if you remove that and they could see who God really was, the loving, just, kind God, then I think they would turn to him too.
Yeah, why wouldn't they, right?
Why wouldn't they? Yeah. That's all. We're all searching for truth. We're all searching for love and purpose in life. And, you know, you can say it. You can say it so many times. Oh, you can find that in God. You can find that in God. But if people don't see it, they won't believe it. And if they've never experienced it because they don't allow themselves to experience it because they've been hurt before, it's not going to happen. And so showing love regardless to whoever, even when you don't feel like it, I think is the best testimony.
Wow. Okay, so could you tell me more and tell just the listeners more about what was that searching phase like for you? Like what did you experience through that?
That's a really good question. So I guess to put it into my feelings into words, my searching started when I was leading Circle Church. Mm. And it's hard. It's hard to lead a church when you don't believe in the God that you're preaching about.
Wow.
And so I doubted. I didn't know if God was there. It became very lonely. I was purposeless because my whole purpose was to live for God. So if there isn't a God, why am I living? It became very, very lonely, dark. I would cry a lot, became very depressed, anxious. I actually asked somebody, you know, I was crying and I asked somebody like, can you please pray for me? And like all I wanted was for them to pray for me, because sometimes I believe that God puts other people in our lives so that we can have faith for them. Mm. And I asked somebody to pray for me and they're like, yeah, sure. Like, I guess they had no idea what I was going through. They said a little prayer, you know, and that meant the world to me because I could not pray for myself. I didn't believe it at that time. And so now I know that feeling of just being alone and feeling so dark and lost that I actually this last year, I got to tell a girl that she was like, hey, like I really need some prayer, because we give some time at Circle Church for praying at the end and of the service. And she's like, I really need some prayer. I'm just having a lot of doubt. And I told her, I was like, you feel lonely, huh? You feel anxious, depressed. I was like, do you feel those things? You know, do you feel like there's no purpose for you? And she just started bawling. She's like, yes. I was like, girl, you're not alone. It is so normal to feel that way. And I wish someone would have told me that. It's normal. It's okay. I was so scared to tell anybody because I thought I would lose my job because I got paid as a pastor. And finally, when I opened up about it, you know, the lead chaplain was like, I wish you would have told me. But you're so scared because that's how it's been. We're not allowed to doubt. We're not allowed to go through that because it's too scary for people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it was a lot of, I don't know why I'm here. I would get up front and be like, isn't God so good? Isn't God so good? Mm-hmm. And the thing that made me doubt even more is that I led an effective service without God in it.
Hmm. Wow.
Did I get burnt out? Yeah, 100%, because the Spirit wasn't there. But I was still able to lead a church service. So my question is, if God didn't exist, would church be different?
Oh, goodness. Wow. That's another conversation.
That's crazy. I just say, you know, this is the thoughts and the ideas that I was having. And so... you know, and anyone can spiral existentially. Some people are more existential than others. I think about my mortality. I think it's also the job I'm in too, right? I see a lot of death. So I think about my mortality, who I am as a person, what my purpose is here, ever since I was young, all the time. And some people, it can lead into existential OCD. So it can lead into like an actual disorder. But for me, you know, some people are more conscious and other people aren't. And so I've always been kind of in the questioning realm, I guess. And there's been several times, you know, wrapping up, there's been several times that I've wanted to quit Adventism. I wanted to leave because I'm so mad. Like, I'm a woman. Hello. Like, I need rights, right? I couldn't be ordained. Like, that's insane. I'm an avid supporter for the LGBTQ community. That's not okay. They're getting treated like, you know, terribly. You know, and the list goes on. And it's just like, I could leave. That would be the easy way out. Or I could stay and fight for God's people. And I could just, you know, stay and fight for rights and show who God is to them in the process. And so that's why I've chosen to stay in Adventism. It's also my culture. I think that Adventism is different than relationship with God. Religion and spirituality to me are different.
It's true.
And so Adventism is my lifestyle and it's my culture. My spirituality is my relationship with God, and it is honestly better than ever after I made the change in my view of God. I believe God doesn't have control over the way people live their lives. He doesn't. And so if they choose to act that way, that's not an act of God. That's an act of human. And it's not a reflection of God. Only positive, loving, caring people are reflections of God. And since I've made that separation, I've been able to live my life in peace again.
Wow. Just thinking about it and just kind of wrapping up.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, you're not alone, or what you experience is not an experience that only few people feel.
Yeah.
I think many, many Christians, Adventists, struggle with this.
Yeah.
Because, I'm just thinking about, the theme for Beast Camp Meeting right now is reflecting Christ's character.
Okay.
And, I think it's not many people try to reflect who Christ genuinely is, but it's easy to reflect who we know Christ is supposed to be. And then we kind of rely on few people to reflect Christ's character, like pastors, our parents, teachers, church leaders, etc. And so when they act a certain way or they show us a certain thing, we think that's who Christ is.
Exactly.
And then, like you're saying, many people, they just leave the church because of this religious trauma. Because they've trusted somebody to show them Christ, and they've left them in a space that they don't feel safe, that they feel like they can't ask questions, that they can't make mistakes, all these type of things. So what would you tell somebody, though, that is in that state right now where the church, their parents, their Adventist school or their Christian school, their society of Christians has made them feel like the Christ they know or the God they know is kind of like a harsh God?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you're listening right now and you have doubt in your head and you don't know if God's real or if this whole thing, this whole Christian or Adventist or whatever you believe is real, it's okay. It is okay to doubt. It is okay to question and explore that. And I would say, don't be afraid of it and find someone that you can trust who isn't going to hurt you that you know of, and tell them so you can say it out loud to somebody. I don't know if God's real, or I'm doubting. I don't know right now, because that's the first step into processing. You got to be able to say it out loud. And after that, I would encourage, if you do want to stay in the religious realm and you do want to find out if God is real in your life, seek a pastor that you trust too. And or a professor. That's what really helped me too, because I needed to see the more intellectual side of it. I needed to see some facts and are people good in the world kind of thing. And I would say also get someone who can hold you accountable, because you got to put in the work too. You can say, oh, I'm doubting, but if you don't go on the process, you don't go on the journey of actually seeking, then your doubting is not going to lead to anywhere, and you could spiral and be like that for the rest of your life. And I'm not trying to, scare anybody, but you got to put in the work too to find, okay, what's going on here? Why am I feeling this way? Why do I have these thoughts? What does my past look like? And who can I talk to help me move forward?
Thank you, Emily, for sharing your story, and my prayer for all of you who are listening that you were able to connect with it and be encouraged. Follow her on Instagram, and so you can follow and see her life as she continues to grow and serve God to the best of her ability. A big proposal to anyone who's listening right now, if you're still listening at the end of this episode, if you have any sort of talent in social media or even GarageBand or sound editing or anything, right now, we're looking just for some people who are willing just to support the Oracle Podcast, and you have any sort of talents or you have any ideas that you would want to contribute to the growth of this podcast, contact me personally, or you can contact the Oracle Facebook page or Instagram, and we would just love to have some volunteers or some people who are willing to help to see this podcast grow. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. More to come. Stay blessed.